You're listening to Inside CHSL, the official podcast of the Detroit Catholic High School League. Inside CHSL is proudly sponsored by Alliance Catholic Credit Union. Here are your hosts, Brendan Johnson and Jeremy Otto.
And we welcome you to this week's episode of Inside CHSL, the official podcast of the Detroit Catholic High School League. While you're here, go ahead and click that subscribe button real fast here on the podcast. You can get the updates on that every single week right to your phone or whatever device you listen to this podcast on. And give us a follow on X, formerly known as Twitter, at @inside_CHSL. And again, we thank you for tuning in this week. Our recording schedule a little bit different because we had some of the basketball playoffs that were going on. We wanted to be able to give a preview. The boys brackets are all set. The Bishop division of the girls bracket is now set for the championship games as well. So we're going to dive into all of that a little bit later in the podcast. But our CHSL Rewind is centered on the Pom Dance and Cheer Championships that recently occurred. We have a couple of guests joining us here on the podcast today as well, and it's going to start with Farmington Hills Mercy, their dance coach. For the fifth straight year, Mercy has won the dance championship, and Coach Brittany Wenson is here with Jeremy Otto to talk more about that victory and her program, so let's send it to Jeremy now.
All right, here with Brittany Wenson, the head dance coach at Mercy High School. A number of cool events within the last, couple weeks for you. I want to start, though, with, your experience at Disney World and placing eighth overall, right?
Yes, that is correct, in hip-hop.
What was that like for you?
It was a wonderful experience. We have been taking the team down to nationals for the last 5 years. I've been coaching for seven. And we have been fortunate enough to place in semifinals each of those years, which is a success in itself. It's an achievement. But the ultimate goal of going to nationals is to make it to finals. And this season, we were fortunate enough with not only making it for our hip hop routine, but also our jazz routine. So that was a huge stride compared to previous years. And then placing eighth amongst all of the teams within that category for hip hop, beating every team that was in Michigan within the D2 hip hop category was quite the achievement.
And especially Michigan student athletes don't always get the chance to take a trip like that. Kind of makes your sport a little unique, right?
It does. I'm very fortunate. I get to take all of my 12 dancers. Of course, their families are joining. It's an overnight stay across the country in Orlando, Florida, which is a crazy place, but it is fun. It's a great atmosphere. UDA has it down to a T with the logistics of how we're getting there, what we do when we get there. I've been going since I was in high school and then throughout my college career. So it's kind of rinse and repeat, but it's very fun.
Mm-hmm. Has it changed at all since you've been in high school?
Yes, definitely has changed. I think it's for the better. They're learning and they're always evolving, taking feedback in from all of the coaches that are attending. This is the competition that the collegiate schools go to the weekend prior. So I think that they're always making strides to be better each and every year. From what I can remember in high school and then throughout college, yes, I think it's more of a seamless process. Though I was a dancer at those times and not coaching, I didn't see all the logistics go into it, but I can only imagine.
And, obviously you come back to Michigan and compete in the Catholic League Championship, a little bit of a different feel there, obviously, against some of the more local schools, but very successful there, again, able to win a title. What was that like for your group?
Yeah, we have been, the Catholic League competition always seems to fall right after we get home from nationals, whether it's Wednesday or Thursday. So our team just knows to kind of stay on drive when it comes to the competition atmosphere. I give them the day off when they get home and they have to get their schoolwork back to normal. But then we do have that one final competition to compete at and make sure that we are showing up at the 100%, that we are giving it our all. It is still just as important as a national competition because it is our regional. We want everyone within the Catholic League community to understand who Mercy Dance Team is. If it's just as important, if not for me, more important because I want to continue making a name for ourselves within that. So it's fun. And I think we brought home our fifth Catholic League championship this year. So I'm very proud of the girls.
Now, for those that don't know, are those exactly the same routines? Are they different? How does that work?
Yeah, we compete the Catholic Leagues or at Catholic Leagues with our jazz routine. So Mercy Dance does a hip hop routine throughout the year and a jazz routine throughout the year. We have done a hip hop routine at Catholic Leagues. I think it was the COVID year because that just happened to be the only routine we had ready to roll because that was such a funky year. But typically it is the jazz style that the girls and the other teams perform. So we've just done that. Our Mercy Pom team also performs their pom routine, which is why my team doesn't do two routines like some schools do, because we're fortunate enough to have two different programs within Mercy.
I know you kind of mentioned off the air that you'll have your banquet soon. What happens at your specific banquet, and always kind of an emotional time, I'm sure, for you and the team.
Of course. Well, our banquet is Thursday. It is a time for us to just look back at the year and reflect upon all of the highs and the lows, everything that we have done throughout the year, the practice schedule, the team bonding, the competitions, nationals. We have four seniors who have been with us throughout their entire tenure within Mercy. So it will be a little bit more of an emotional and heart-wrenching banquet because they have been a part of it. They have helped us grow from that COVID year to where we are now placing nationally within the country. So it will be a little bit more of a sad, but we like to celebrate and we like to make sure that they are well loved along with all of our other team. We are made up of four freshmen, two sophomores, two juniors, and four seniors. So we have a old but young style team. So it will be a wonderful night.
And your husband and I know each other. We went to high school together at UAD, but obviously his career just ended in terms of the baseball side of things. But he was grinding for a long time trying to get through the minor leagues. What was that like, as a wife to kind of help him through that process? Because it's not as easy as some people would think.
It's definitely not easy. It takes a special individual to have the drive, the motivation, and the love for the sport, and to constantly be told what to do. You're going to this team at this time right away. And then the spouse of that is just being a supportive figure, making sure that he is good and everything that he needs is set, because nothing in his life at the time he was playing was consistent, besides, of course, his family and relationships. So we were just had to be there and support him, making sure that he had everything he needed. It was quite some. I think he went right out of college and then he just recently retired. So I always stayed home. My family was here. His family is here. I managed everything in our life from Michigan while he was out in Arizona, Tennessee, Washington, all around the country. So that was his constant, his drive for everything.
And obviously, you had kind of a front row seat to all the levels, right? Because you guys have been with each other for a long time, even before marriage. How proud were you to see him kind of go through the ranks?
It was so nice. It was exactly what he wanted. He just seeing him get to the level of advancement that he did within the minor leagues and professionally, it was his dream come true. I know he would have loved to continue. But of course, we had a baby girl, and his life and his priorities had to change or wanted to change. He was not upset by any means. So it was nice to see him live out his dream, and be right next to him for it all.
Yeah, and last one for you. You didn't go to a Catholic high school, but you were around, Catholic education, obviously through Harrison and such. How much of an impact did that have for you, kind of landing at Mercy?
Yeah, it was he honestly, like we chatted about offline a little bit. I am the only Mercy, or I'm the only Wenson or family member within the Wenson community that has not gone to Mercy with the so this is my tie to being at Mercy, and I think it's just such a nice honor to be a part of the school and part of the program. It is a tight-knit community. It is so nice. And everyone knows each other. I, like you said, wasn't involved within the Catholic community, education community, excuse me, prior, but since being here for like 7 years, it seems like a family.
All right, we appreciate your time. Enjoy the last couple times that the team is coming together, and congrats on all the success you've had this year as well.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
And thank you to Coach Wenson for joining us and talking about her dance program. Just some incredible experiences going back to the beginning of the interview with going to Disney World, having success there, being able to participate in that kind of event. Just a great way to represent their school, represent our league, and what a tremendous experience for those girls. So, congratulations to Mercy on all of the success that they've had as of recent, and the success we anticipate they will continue to have with their dance program. To give a couple other of updates, both the POM champions and cheer champions, giving credit to Divine Child, and then in the Cardinal Division of Competitive Cheer, Allen Park Cabrini won that championship as well. But we are now joined by Amber Jenovich, the head coach of Divine Child's cheer team. She is with Jeremy Otto. Take it away, Jeremy.
All right, Amber. Well, obviously a special time of year, another Catholic League title under wraps. It's hard, maybe on the outside, from my perspective, it seems like you win every year, right? So how do you make each one of these titles special for the team?
Hi. For sure, Divine Child Cheerleading takes the Catholic League championships very seriously. It is something that we build our tradition on, and every year is different. Every team is different, and the competition level is different every year for us. There have been many years where it almost didn't happen. So for us, it's a big focus on tradition and legacy and our alumni and the foundation that they kind of built for us, so that the kids really have a time to reflect on their why they kind of pour themselves into the program, why Divine Child Cheerleading is different. And so it really is a special time for us, whether it's the first win or the 23rd win this past year. It really is a very special time for us, so.
Do you think there's a certain pressure on your student athletes, or they're able to, kind of put that aside?
Oh no, absolutely. The pressure is there. Because for them, they create that pressure, right? They want to be able to perform at their best, not just for the scores, not just for the win, but because they really truly do want to make their alumni proud. There's such a huge connection between our alumni and the current team. Just giving them, things that they can work on, things that they have been through, words of advice, and they really do want to make them proud because this is something that they built and they worked hard for when they were in their shoes. So it definitely is a lot of pressure for them that they create for themselves, that they want to make them proud. So it is huge.
Is there talk each and every year about, quote, extending the streak?
There's talk about not wanting to be the one that breaks it, that's for sure. We reflect a lot. In 2003, when we first won that very first title, I was not yet the head coach. I was the junior varsity coach, but my sister, who cheered in the high school as well as I did, she graduated in 2003. So she was a part of that team that won that very first Catholic League title. So for me, it's also special because I know that my sister kind of went through it and she didn't win. When I was in high school, we didn't win. She's a constant reminder to me too, like, don't mess it up.
Right. Talking with Amber Jenovich here, the head coach at Divine Child on the cheer side of things. They're just coming off another Catholic League title. What's different about a Catholic League tournament as opposed to the state championship and everything that builds up to that as well?
There's a lot of things that are different. The competition is different. For us, yeah, at the Catholic League level, we're, the Division II school. Most of the other schools are Division III and IV, so they have much smaller rosters, much smaller student athlete selection to be able to choose from for their teams. So the level of, skill and all that kind of stuff is just going to be a little bit less because they're at a smaller school. So for us, the Catholic League title is about focusing on our tradition and legacy and our history and our alumni base and just doing the best that we can for ourselves. But really, that sort of is what the heart of Divine Child is going into tournament time, going into districts and regionals and state finals. And Catholic League championships always come at such a great time because it serves as a reminder to us as we've been grinding week after week at all these invitationals that are not really focused on that. They're focused on the scores and focused on improving week after week, that coming to the Catholic League Championship sort of just brings us back home to what we are focusing on, and allows us to kind of reset, rebuild their confidence, refocus on what their goal is as we're going into the state tournament. You know, when we go into the state tournament, there's a lot of pressure, but if they've created that pressure for themselves at the Catholic League Championship, then it is a little bit easier going into it to remember their why, to remember the confidence that they had on that day at the Catholic League Championships going into the playoffs.
What's something that, nobody really understands about your sport, would you say?
The high level of athleticism that's required and strength, as well as the mental work that it takes to do this sport. I mean, to be able to be really, really good at it and to be a team and a program like we are, and to be competitive every year. I mean, the mental game that they have to play, not only to be able to do the skills, you know, to do the tumbling aspect, to be able to do the stunting elements, to memorize choreography and all of those different things, but also to, you know, stay focused on ourselves and not be distracted by the social media game that everybody plays, all the teams are playing, and just kind of be able to, I don't know, just focus on ourselves and not be distracted by that. Those are really big challenges that we face as athletes and in this sport. And it's tough on the kids, but it's just different challenges every year, especially from the very beginning of coaching back in, you know, the early 2000s. Like that wasn't a thing. The tumbling elements weren't that strong. The stunting wasn't that strong. The social media definitely wasn't there. So it's definitely a different kind of coaching that you're doing now.
And you kind of speak of kind of the full circle nature of this as well. I know you're coaching somebody's daughter that coached you, right? That's kind of an interesting little twist to think.
Oh, absolutely. So, yeah. So Trisha Yost was my high school coach at Divine Child when I cheered there. I started coaching JV right after high school, underneath her, and then took over the program when she retired because she had kids. And now her third child and her second daughter, now that I'm coaching, is a senior. So it is a really bittersweet moment to kind of have that chapter closing. Very emotional for all of us because, you know, we've known each other for such a long time, and I've watched her kids grow up, and she's watching mine grow up now. So it's really very special.
There was a time just a few years back where you stepped away from the program for a couple of years for one of the birth of your children as well. You
Yeah.
thought maybe you were done. What made you come back?
So yeah, I mean, I did. I stepped away. I thought I had to be done. I had a third child, and I didn't know how I would balance it all. And you know, reflecting back, I think that that was the right choice for me at the time. But I definitely, Divine Child is my home, and Divine Child cheerleading certainly is at the heart of that. So you know, once I figured out how I could balance it all, and just kind of figured out all that logistical stuff, I made my way back, and so it's been amazing ever since.
Are you grateful in a way that they allowed you to come back? Probably not a given for everybody, right, in that situation.
Absolutely. Yeah, the coach that took over for me, Shelley Popiel, when she took over for me, she was an alumni, and definitely sought my you know, advice on a lot of things. So we were always connected, even when I wasn't coaching in those couple of years. Definitely we were connected, and I was coming in and helping out when I could. So when that possibility came back, I think it was very welcomed. So we kind of all work together really well and our family. So,
How does your program specifically incorporate the faith?
We lean on our faith almost every day, I would say daily. These kids are incredibly centered with their faith and talking about God and his plans for us and his plans when we don't see why certain things are happening or and just constantly reading from the Bible, just talking about his plan in general. We lean on prayer a lot within our program, and just how his plan is greater than ours at the end of the day.
Do you have any favorite prayers or Bible passages that you often kind of go back to?
We have kind of like a whole slew of them that we go through together. To say there was one, there was probably one, Job 5, chapter 5, verses 6 through 9, is one that as kind of a program we lean on. We had a former athlete who passed away. Gosh, let's see, that would be 2018. And that was sort of, her favorite Bible passage. So we kind of lean on that a lot together. We talk about her a lot and just kind of what it means and keeping our faith and all that kind of stuff.
Awesome. And I guess what's the key as you kind of round back to the state title run here? What's the key to making a long run for you?
The biggest key right now for these girls is honestly staying healthy and getting our injured athletes back. We have an incredibly strong team who is very, very talented and who have all the elements to be able to go really far in this tournament. It just seems like at every turn we've hit a huge roadblock with injuries. Nearly at every competition and every week, certainly. So right now we are just praying and hoping that everybody can get back and healthy. And if that's the case, then there's really not much that can stop these girls from going all the way for their goal.
Well, Coach, we appreciate your time. Best of luck going forward, and continue that tradition, which is so special at the Falcons for sure.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, that's Amber Jenovich, the head coach on the cheer side of Divine Child. More inside CHSL after this.
When you choose where to bank, do Catholic schools benefit? When you choose Alliance Catholic Credit Union, they do. Do business with a business that cares about the Catholic community. Join Alliance Catholic Credit Union today. Apply online in minutes at alliancecatholic.com. Alliance Catholic Credit Union is a proud sponsor of the Catholic High School League.
And again, a thank you to Coach Jenovich and earlier in the episode, Coach Wenson for joining Jeremy and talking about their programs and the successes that they have had. Now it's time for our What to Watch For segment here of Inside CHSL, and it's all centered around the upcoming basketball championships. Let's start. We'll go in order of which they're being played. So we're going to start 5 o'clock, Friday the 14th. It's the Bishop Girls Championship, and it's going to be a showdown between Father Gabriel Richard and Notre Dame Academy. Father Gabriel Richard comes in. They've been dominant all year. We've talked about them on the podcast. There's no surprise they're playing in the championship game. And in their semifinal, they took down Orchard Lake St. Mary's 60-26 in dominating fashion. They do have, several big wins over the course of the year. We've talked about that, but they have beat Notre Dame Academy twice. 49-38 on January 9th and 38-28 on January 28th. But what that shows is two close competitive basketball games. And, there's the old cliche saying, it's hard to beat a team three times. So for Father Gabriel Richard, you've put together two great game plans and found a way to win two great games. You got to do it a third time. For Notre Dame Academy, Even though they've lost a few times to Father Gabriel Richard, and they had a couple setbacks earlier in the year, they come out with a huge 55-43 win over Mercy in their semifinal game to leverage them to the Catholic League final at Callahan Hall on Friday the 14th. And if you're interested in going to those games, just so you know, doors open at 4:30 p.m. It is $5 to park at U of D Mercy, and it's $10 to get into the game. So again, that's Friday the 14th, $10 to get in, $5 to park, doors open at 4:30, and tip-off is set for 5 p.m. So that should be a great, great game, and would encourage you to go check that out. On the boys' side of things, we have the Bishop Championships on Friday the 14th as well. And that's going to feature number one team in the state, University of Detroit Jesuit, versus Orchard Lake St. Mary's, the defending Division I state champions, a team that's battled some injuries throughout the year, but regarded as still one of the best in the state of Michigan. So if you're looking for a big-time matchup, of course, both teams have Division I commits. Everybody knows Trey McKinney at Orchard Lake St. Mary's, committed to go to the University of Michigan from UD Jesuit. Leroy Blyden, we had him on the podcast earlier this year, committed to Toledo. Orchard Lake St. Mary's in the semifinal with a very convincing win over Brother Rice. A little bit of revenge for Orchard Lake St. Mary's after earlier in the year they lost to Brother Rice at Brother Rice in a heartbreaker, just a couple point game. Brother Rice has had a phenomenal season as well, and a team that can surely make a run in the state playoffs. And again, we talk about U of D Jesuit. They've been the number one team in the state for a large part of the season, just been dominant. They've only lost a couple of games, and they're two top programs that they've lost to, and they both have been very, very close. So U of D, Orchard Lake, St. Mary's, you expect a great crowd. You expect a great matchup. And it's a game that could go either way. U of D took the one time they met earlier in the season, and it was at the beginning of Catholic League play. So these teams haven't seen each other in a while. They've changed the format of how the league works. You used to play home and home with both teams, then could play in the Catholic League tournament. Then you still might end up playing in the state tournament as well. The schools agreed they wanted some adjustments to that. And with the addition of the Toledo schools, it made it a little bit more feasible to just play each other one time during the season. Then you'd have the Catholic League tournament. And for the state of Michigan teams, you might end up seeing them in the state playoffs. You may not. And I don't know if Ohio might have some of the same preference of not having to play, you know, the potential for three or four times over the course of the season. So St. Mary's, U of D, that game is at 7 p.m. It's at Callahan Hall. Same deal. $5 to park, $10 to get in the game, and the girls' game is being played right before it. So the doors will be open at 4:30. You'll see the girls' game at 5 o'clock, and then the boys' game for the Bishop Championship will tip off at 7 p.m. Then on Saturday, the 15th, action continues at Callahan Hall. UD Mercy has a girls' basketball game, or women's basketball game, I should say, earlier in the afternoon at 1 p.m. Then in the evening at 5 o'clock, just cemented, and part of the reason we've delayed getting the podcast out this week, gave us a chance to get all of the basketball matchups on the boys' side and what it's going to look like for this upcoming weekend. At 5 o'clock, we have the St. Anne's Championship. That's going to feature Everest Collegiate and Liggett. Last night, as we record this on Thursday, so on Wednesday night, Everest with a dominant win over Our Lady of the Lakes. Everest has been a dominant team all year long and is certainly a threat to compete for a state championship in Division IV. They had gotten the victory over Our Lady of the Lakes last night, and then in a battle Leggett and Shrine was back and forth the entire game, one possession game till almost the very end when Leggett pulls away with a 62-55 victory over Shrine to cement their chance to win a Catholic League championship and take down Everest, who's been the dominant team in the intersectional divisions all year long, and has been for numerous years. So Everest and Leggett will battle for the St. Anne's championship. Same deal as Friday. It's $5 to park. It's $10 to get in the door. The doors will open at 4:30. It's a 5 o'clock tip-off, so be sure to get there for that. And then the 7 o'clock game on Saturday will feature two of the top teams in Division III, Riverview Gabriel Richard, Jackson Lumen Christie. And it's expected to be a battle. It's a rematch of last year's Catholic League Championship game. Two great teams, two successful programs, and expecting that to be another classic at Callahan Hall to wrap up the boys' championships, that being for the Cardinal Championship. With that said, that's going to do it for us on this week's episode of Inside CHSL. We appreciate you tuning in. And again, like I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, before you go, click that subscribe button. It gives you the link to the podcast right away. You'll get it directly to the device that you're listening to your podcast on regularly. It could be in your email, through your laptop, through your phone. So be sure to click that subscribe button. Also, go ahead and follow us on Twitter at @inside_CHSL. And you should follow at CHSL1926, the Catholic League Twitter page as well. And for great information, CHSL.com. They have all the latest news. They have scores. They have updates, information that you need for upcoming championship games and so forth. So definitely check out the website there to stay up to date and all the great happenings across the Detroit Catholic High School League. We thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll see you next time here on Inside CHSL.